Welcome to Attack of Opportunity.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Attack of Opportunity, where we take the chance to take a look at ourselves, take a look at other people, look around the room, look into the community now. We are expanding and talking to other content creators at this point in the show, because I can keep hiring cast members, but, you know, and we do have new ones, and you will get their interviews soon. But it's much more fun for me and for everyone and for you to rub elbows with the movers, the shakers, the people that are coming up on their way up kind of thing. And for my personal favorite choice, people like this guy right here that are doing something that we consider original. And what am I talking about? We are talking to Vince today, one of the movers and shakers behind a very original Twitter, which has become a podcast, which has become, well, we'll get into it. Are you familiar with the D&D Grandma? This guy has a family sitting down to dinner. Then they pull out dice. And Grandma doesn't go off and have a nap. She's in there. She's kicking boots, taking names, swinging swords. I love this idea. Vince, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me, man.
So, I don't know if you're familiar with the show. Well, I do, because you told me earlier. But first question that we love to ask all of our, you know, but we usually start with, how did you know that you were a geek and a nerd, one of us? But of course, we want to see Grandma. Where is she? Why isn't she here? I asked for Grandma. I guess her butt. We don't have. I know. She's off talking to Perkins and Mercer and cutting a deal. You know,
oh man, if only
taking you along for the ride, right? Is that how it's going?
Wouldn't that be something?
We'll take what we can get, and we're happy to have Vince today. So, how did you first know that you were a geek, a nerd, one of us, one of us?
That I knew that I was a geek. I guess that there was. I never really had a moment where I knew I'm a geek right now. It's just like I had several geekdoms as I was growing up, just things that I started getting into. I guess my first geekdom ever I consider to be pro wrestling. When I was a kid, I loved it. I watched all the old school stuff. Then that started to evolve as I discovered comic books, as I was always into 80s cartoons. So the geek seeds were planted at a very young age. As far as the geek of tabletop gaming goes, that's fairly new. I only got into this maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
I'm feeling you. I kind of skipped a lot of the comics and went right to like 80s cartoons, like the X-Men 80s cartoon. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I love the theme music. Dun, 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 dun. you're already answering my next question. You know, was there a defining moment for you or a gateway drug? And you're saying 80s cartoons and the pro wrestling. Now, has this got you into playing those pro wrestling video games? Because
oh,
I remember we used to play a bunch of those. And we would be, there was a game, I can't remember the name of it. It was one of the old Xboxes. And there was a move you could do. It was a counter. They called it reversal.
Okay.
And somebody was grappling you and doing something, and you picked the guy up, and if you hit the button at the right time, you would completely reverse the move. And I got to a point where we're bouncing up and down on the couch with our then Star Wars DM for D6, Doug. And he's like, reversal! And he just owned you. And we're like, oh, man, can we go back to playing like D&D where we are Star Wars, where you just kill us properly?
You know? Oh, no, my friend, I forget also the name of it, but it was on a PlayStation, and it was a WWE game where you could, it was like one of the first ones where you had a lot of detail in creating original characters, where you could go in and create your own wrestlers. So my friends and I, we all made ourselves. I had a character, and all my friends had characters, and then we'd all play as ourselves. It was craziness.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a lot of fun.
No, I remember something like that, and you like we just loved finding the guys that had the face paint or the luchador masks and type of thing, put them on there. So you're enjoying the 80s cartoons, you're playing wrestling games, and you're following wrestling, big part of the childhood, right? Which I like to refer as modern day gladiatorial arena combat. If you really think about it, you know, it is kind of staged, and just like the gladiators, it's just, you know, just those little, you know, cestus swords, short swords, and we're good. Well, of course, it's television for kids. You know, they got to fold into the handle, but I'm just saying. So, how long have you been a gamer? You know, like beyond the video games, picking up the D20, you know, that kind of thing. What was your first tabletop RPG? I suppose is the question I'm digging for.
I came in right after 5th Ed was released, because a bunch of my friends were getting a game together to kind of kick off the new system, the new 5th edition system. Mm-hmm. And when I was in high school and when I was in college, I knew a lot of people who played. I wouldn't be able to tell you what edition it was at the time. I wasn't in that world yet. But I was always curious. What is this Dungeons & Dragons game? But I... out of the people I knew who were playing, these weren't people that I wanted to join a game with. So it wasn't until fairly recently where I had a group of close friends who wanted to get a game together. And I was at a barbecue and I heard them talking about scheduling a time. And I just said to myself, you know what? It's now or never. So I just turned around and went, you know what? I think I'd like to get in on that. And played my first game and I never looked back. I was writing for my own campaign 6 months later.
Oh, that's great. Like, it is for me and for a lot of people, it's all about playing with your friends. Now, there are really engaging and fun people that you can meet at random in the community and share this love.
Absolutely.
But, you know, there's nothing like, you know, with the friends or whatever. I'm very proud to announce that my wife, who has been our silent partner and executive producer for Dicewise Entertainment and has always supported the Rollmongers Podcast Network, is now auditioning and have done some cameos in our Dice Before Dishonor podcast, the All Cavalier Party, that's doing Excellent. Pathfinder's War for the Crown. And she was so nervous. She ate and drank the wrong stuff, that's something that just really makes her stomach settle well, and she's doing her thing and she's playing, and we're like, stop, edit this, honey, you know. And then she's getting mad at Roll 20 because she hadn't, you know, she games with me alone, but we sit in the living room and like Roll 20 and Hero Lab's up there, but it's a lot of narrative, right? So to put her microphone in front of her and like, okay, you know, click on this, honey, and she got a little she was nervous. It was adorable. The guys just loved her and they want her back. So next thing I know, she's making up, you know, second edition characters for our launch of Pathfinder second edition. And we've been looking at Hell's Vengeance, the evil campaign. And she's like, I've never played an evil character. And I'm like, oh, I'm a DM. I do it all the time. They're fun. You know, yes. in girl gamers rock, you know, we need more. We have a few lady cast members, but they're few and far between and only in a smattering because of their schedules. But you've got the wife, your wife involved, the family. You know, let's talk about your wife and you. So there you are, 6 months in. You're writing campaigns and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. How did you get the family involved? Because I'm assuming that would happen before you went on the net.
That was a slow process. My wife joined first with my sister and my brother-in-law. And they had heard me talking about it. And they were all sort of like, okay, well, this sounds interesting. And then one day my brother-in-law said, you know what, I think I'd like to try. And my sister came along for the ride, and I kind of hoodwinked my wife into being the third player. That way we had a somewhat full table. Mm-hmm. And I ran just like a little intro kind of beginner game for them. And they loved it and they wanted to play again. And I think it was actually my wife's idea, who said, I think this would be really good for your mother. And at first I thought she was out of her mind. I'm like, no way, mom's not going to do this. And for the hell of it, my sister and I sat down with my mother and like, would you like to try? And my mother always likes to say she did it on a lark just to say, you know what? It's a night with my kids. We're going to be playing a game. It's sure, I'll give it a try. But man, the bug bit her pretty hard. She got hooked on that first game. And it's been a hell of a ride ever since, man. Just watching her develop into a player, it's been amazing.
Oh, that's cool. And like, I don't see this as exploitation. Like, you see the kids that do videos and their kids out and rapping, and now they're big on YouTube. It's like, yes, Tommy, you've paid for your college 10 times over, you know, this kind of thing. The photos that you post, you know what I mean? And you're just like, we love doing this. And it's like people put up pictures of them swimming with the dolphins and all this vacation on Facebook, and look, I'm winning at life. And your photos are really heartwarming. They're like just everyone at the table going, oh, hey, we're playing. Yeah, go away, sit down, go get my beer, you know, and back at it type of thing. It was one of the things that drew my attention to you. It was this great shot of you guys all leaning on the table, and there's Grandma, you know, and it's really good. She's got this look on her face, and you can tell that she's, you know, she hasn't been cajoled into it. Mm-hmm. You know, she has a sparkle in her eyes, like, I really don't know what's happening. But she's got this grin like, yeah, I'm doing this. You know, it's a really great picture. You can see it on the Deity Grandma. So, okay, so you're playing. Exactly. You're playing. You know, there you are. You're playing and you're going along there. But now the big question, I mean, that's fine. That's happiness. You know, get the family together, barbecue and all this kind of stuff. The jump, the leap to not playing because it's not game night and watching things on YouTube or whatever and saying, guys, let's buy microphones. Let's get the Yeti out. Let's, you know, let's share this with the world. That's a big decision. That's a big leap. What started that? We've already credited your wife with bringing your mom in. Okay.
Well, this was that was a process, and it was step by step. I started to just share normally, just like, you know, not thinking anything of it, some photos on my personal Facebook, just like, hey, look at what we're doing. I got mom to play D&D. and it's people started to react very favorably. And a friend of mine said, you know what, you should get this on Twitter, because I think a lot of people would be interested to see it. So I just said, all right, cool, I'll give it a try. So I made a Twitter for just the D&D grandma, and I took a short video during one of our games. It's one of my favorite videos ever. It's in my feed somewhere if you ever go looking for it.
Oh yeah, that's going up. <You're kidding. laughs> That's going on the end. Watch on the end of this video, ladies and gentlemen, where I snatch that feed and stick it right there, you know.
It's my mother in our older campaign, she casts Thunderwave. And the way she was able to do it, she got five of the bad guys, five of the villains that were fighting in the area of effect, and she rolled bonkers. She upcasted it to like third level and she rolled crazy damage, so she did like well over 100 damage total, and she's like, yeah, like puts her arms up and cheers. She's so happy, and it's this really great moment. When I shared that, it was like overnight we went from 100 followers to 2,000, because that video just got retweeted and retweeted and retweeted. And I was like, holy, that was like my first moment that like I'm onto something here, you know, this is pretty cool. In that series of retweets, one of them was a writer for Geek & Sundry, who then emailed me and said, we would like to do an article on you. And I went, yes, sure, by all means. And when that happened, then it just the train took off. And that's kind of when I started thinking, not necessarily because I'm going to be famous. It was more of like, I think I'd like to put our story out there. I think I'd like to show that we are a perfect example that tabletop gaming can be for anybody. There is no stereotype. Oh, yeah. There is no, you know, that's the days of that are gone. This is for anyone with an imagination, a pencil and a set of dice can sit down and play our game.
Oh yeah. No, I, funny enough, this shirt that I'm wearing that my son made me has our, you know, the dice and the shield and everything.
I love that. It was cool.
He had a little summer business and was doing stamping art type of thing. And I have a picture on Facebook where I'm wearing this, and I went to visit my late grandmother before she passed recently. And I'm sitting with her and I'm talking with her, you know, and of course grandmas are like, you know, so what are you doing? So I laid it all out for her. I'm like, well, grandma, you know, like I've been on this, you know, I've been doing this thing and it's podcasting. What's that? Well, you know, this and this and this and going on. Now here's a woman that can recite our entire family history, you know, sharp as a tack, you know, right to the edge. She was in her 80s, 90s, just getting older and older. And so I explained it, and she's like, oh, you've always had a face for radio, like that old joke. And then my wife is like, picture, and she's laughing, huh? You know, and I'm like, yeah, that's funny, Grandma. And I got her outside of the prison, old people's compound, once I smuggled her outside. Look, Grandma Sunshine. wonderful, wonderful woman, and the last remaining grandparent, and, you know, supportive. Of, you know, even if they have no idea what you're really talking about, they're like, that's good for you. You know, they're really invested in you and they love you visiting. So for me to see you and grandma's at the table, which is something that's beyond a lot of us. It's like, dude, so take it. Come on. Yeah. You come on. Like, take a moment. This guy, you know, like I said, I don't think it's about exploitation. I really think it's about, you know, the family and everything. And you just kind of fell into this. And that's really, really cool, man. I got to say.
Thank you.
Now you're making content. Where can we find you on the web? You are a podcast called the D&D Grandma.
We are a podcast. We did consider making it a Twitch stream, but my mother absolutely torpedoed the idea of video. She said absolutely not. She agreed to my mother's still very guarded with the whole social media thing. She's gotten a little better with letting us take photos, letting us take videos. She used to be very, very defensive. She didn't like it, but she's warmed to it a little bit, and as long as it's just audio, she's okay with us putting content out there. She just doesn't want like a live Twitch video.
Oh no. I totally get it. Like even that photo with grandma and stuff, you know, they're always like, wait, who's doing this? They found me.
Yeah, she does always have that little like, okay, take the picture, get it over with. Yeah. That kind of vibe. But you can find me, you can find us on Twitter at D&D Grandma. Our podcast is called the D&D Grandma and the Family That Games Together. That's D letter N D, not ampersand, D N D. And you could find us on almost the only podcatcher that we're not on, I think, is Spotify, but you can get us on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, really? Castbox, and get us everywhere.
Spreaker is one of the ones, one of the three I use, and they can get you to Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, that type of thing. But we're nuts here. We pay for three separate hosts and then go like everywhere, as opposed to one people just like, we'll pick this host and, you know, get as much free spam as you can. But okay. If you're watching the video for this, I've got his logo up. Lovely purple, the D20 hexagonal, octagonal, multigonal. Yeah, comet is fun. purple with V and D&D in gold, grandma. And then it says, like, in lovely handwritten script, and the family that games together. So very, very, yeah. I mean, even his logo is charming.
Well, thank you. Designed by my lovely wife.
Oh, again, where is she? Obviously, the woman behind the man is really, it's more like the guy, you're just like, I'm along for the ride. Grandma gets us this, the wife gets us this, I'm just a DM. You know, I just make the stories, but they're the real, you know.
No, yeah, I like to call my wife my creative director. She does anything logo related like that is her.
No, my wife is far more involved, even though not publicly. She's far more involved in this than you'd think. And a buddy of mine once described our marriage as, Jeff is the balloon that's bouncing along the ceiling, and Cheryl's 2 feet on the ground holding his string.
I like that.
And then that's like, that's our marriage. That's like, you know, she's my censor, you know. I also, my son is involved, as in, like, he's our social media censor, because I'm just like, if I say it or think it, it's like, that's going up there. Great idea. And he's like, Dad, you can't say that. Why not? You sound very condescending. No, I don't. And he's like, because my grammar and my spelling and my English are terrible. And it is my first language. I just never really bothered mastering it. And, you know, communication is worse, you know. So there's a running joke with me that common is fun, because I never learned English properly. But anyway, back to you, sir. When you're playing, you're DMing. Mm-hmm. So as a DM, though, like, when you got to play, do you have a favorite class, a favorite race, a favorite alignment, something that you possibly play when you had your chance when you were playing?
Ooh, well, in a separate game that we don't podcast, my wife DMs for myself, her sister, and three of our friends. And in that game, I'm playing a Hexblade Warlock, and I never realized how much fun a Hexblade Warlock is. Really? That's probably my favorite class up to this point. I'm having so much fun with that character.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. It used to be Barbarian was my favorite, and not anymore, man. I'm having so much fun with Warlock.
Oh, okay. So again, the wife, where is she? Can we name her? What is your, you know,
her name is Victoria.
Victoria and Vince. Okay.
She made it very clear. She didn't feel like putting makeup on, so she doesn't want to be on video right now.
Okay.
I did ask her to join me. She was like, no, you go have fun.
Oh, got to summon, honey, watch this. Honey, fucking summon mine. We could get Vince's wife, but we'll put in mine as, you know, for the attack of opportunity. Again, we started the show, and a lot of people didn't get it. They're like, we don't get this. Like, it's a gaming term. It's like, yeah, but I'm full of stories. I can't remember them. And when I have a guest talking with me, I suddenly remember them. And I try really hard not to interrupt. But when you leave yourself open, I'm going to take that attack of opportunity and stick in an anecdote. And now people are like, oh, yeah, we get it. Yeah.
That's clever. I like that.
Oh, but again, back to you. No, we're going to try and sub your wife for mine. Honey! But we'll see. It's probably going to bang open the door and get really mad at me now. Anyway, how long have you been creating content online now? Like, you've been playing for X amount of time. Like, how long has this been up and running?
We do weekly episodes, and we just put up, I'm not done editing it yet, but so later today, episode 41, I believe, is going up. So we've been doing this almost a year. We've been podcasting.
I'm going to text her. Physic, I need you. For those that know Princess Bride. and you're doing very well. You're doing so well. Like I said, the positive feedback and, you know, that type of thing keeps you going. Now, where do you actually, tape everything, as it were?
My dining room.
You're in the okay.
Yeah, dining room table.
And you're on a Yeti?
We're on a Yeti. It's a very low-tech operation. Like, we don't have a mixer. It's just one mic, center of the table, on a sponge to mask, the sound of people banging on the table. That's it. It is low-tech. And we kind of realize, like, while I do want the production value to be good, and I want to be able to hear everything clearly, and I want people to enjoy the show, we've kind of realized that what people gravitate toward the most about us is the fact that it's a family dynamic, also gaming. So I try not to, I cut out filler when I'm editing, but I try not to cut out too much family banter, because it's kind of our thing. That's what we do. Like, yeah, we're gaming and we're playing D&D, but we're also a family who will tease each other sometimes. And there'll be some banter going on back and forth, especially when my mother starts taking shots at us. It's always hilarious.
Oh, so
it's a very loosey-goosey, relaxed, low-tech operation to record.
No, that's... but sorry.
Not at all.
The amateur standpoint is... There she is. Huh? Well, I'm talking to Vince from the D&D Grandma, and his wife has strategically not been there, so I got to summon you. We need a wife, because his wife is all, you know, really the woman I should be talking to. Vince is just a puppet regime. And I just want to... Over here. I just wanted you to wave something. She does exist. She holds my balloon. She does exist.
I believe you.
Just, hello.
Hello.
I just wanted to make sure that people don't know.
I am here.
The wife knows that. So, thanks, baby. She's just really confused. She goes over to the other side of the table and she's sitting at her mic. She's like, no, I don't need you on the show. I need you on the show, you know, for the moment. But I will need you later when the guys show up. Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Cheryl Ball, my lovely wife and executive producer. So, there. Now, if I can do it, you can do it. Your turn. Come on, go get her.
No. I will try.
If you just get a hand to wave, there you go. We'll see how we can do. While we're continuing on our questions, but you never know what's going to happen here on Attack of Opportunity. So what about conventions, fans, gatherings? Do you go to these? Is there a place, like an outlet, where people can meet you? You know,
we actually just got back from one. It was called Dralicon out in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It was a startup. It's the first time that this con has ever happened. It was put together by a group called the Nerd Asylum, who are an amazing group of tabletop gaming geeks. You can find them on Twitter at Nerd Asylum. Great group of people. We went out there, it was a 3-day convention, and we had an amazing time. And we met just a whole bunch of other gamers, a whole bunch of other content creators, other podcasts like us. And it was just 3 days of celebrating tabletop gaming. It was so awesome. We just had a great time with it. We met a lot of awesome people.
Cool. I'd love to do that. I've never been to a convention in my life. I'd love to do that. We got plans for September to some up here.
I've already been messaging all the Dralicon people, and I've been like, hashtag Dralicon 2020, hashtag Dralicon 2020.
Yeah, we're going, yeah.
They're all like, yeah, we'd like to do this again. We'd like to make it a yearly thing. I'm like, you got it. We'll be there. So I've been saying, Dralicon 2020, make it happen.
Yeah. And then you tweet Dralicon going, dude, I've drummed you all this business. You know, how about at least a limo for grandma when she comes, you know. Do you take her? Does she go to those?
This one she did not go to. This was okay. Myself, my wife Victoria, and our friend Kristen, who recently joined our family game because she's a friend, but she's a sister. Like, she's just the best family friends we have. And she went out. It was the three of us who went out there. And that was hands down the most common question was, oh, it's good to meet you. Where's grandma? Oh, that was everyone. Oh, where's the grandma? And I'm like,
it's in the name, man. You're going to.
I was like, she's 75 with a bad hip, and it's a 10-hour ride. Like, there's no way she was going to Indiana. Yeah. But I'm like, do something in Union County, New Jersey, and maybe we'll make it happen.
I make a suggestion, okay? Even if it's on your phone, even if you can tell grandma, it's like, okay, at 3 p.m., you know, someone at home or something has set you up with a Skype call, you know, even if it's on your phone and you held it up to the masses, they would go nuts.
Yeah,
and then,
sure.
Of course, grandma, you might scare her. She'd go underground and... See, I don't know if that's like exploitation. I would find that a heartwarming moment to see a video of you, you know, just holding up grandma going, here she is, you know, and have her going, Vinny, is that you? You know, is this on? You know, with the big eyeball. I can't, you know, like, how are you with the technology? Does she stand up and lean over the mic and go, bingo, you know, or Yahtzee when the sixes come up? Because that's what I'm thinking. I'd love to see a meme with that shot you talk about where she did the fireball, the thunder wave, you know, and then the scene background slides behind her and it's like a bingo hall, a this, you know, and it's like, doesn't matter what your game is, you know, as long as you're having a good time, as long as you're rolling those sixes, you know.
That'd be funny.
That's very marketable. And I'm giving this away to you now, free. No, I'm just kidding. I love the concept of it, the idea of it, and I'd like to tone things down for a minute.
Okay.
Talk about something very dear and near to my heart. Your merchandise. Do you have it? Where can we find it?
we are working on that, actually. We just recently had some fan art commissioned, which we made into T-shirts. Which, real quick, if I can, shameless plug.
Yes. Hey, is it the party?
It's all the characters in the party. My mother's character is right there.
Okay.
And then all the other characters.
Where's grandma? That's everybody wants to know, right? Which one's grandma?
Right here. That's my mother's character right there.
Okay, in the blue?
In the blue, yep.
Okay.
Right in the center.
It is hard to see them or whatever, but we'll have to. Maybe you can send me a picture of this, and I'll put it up.
I can do that, and we'll send. We'll be tweeting it as well. This was done by. I want to make sure I get the name right.
Mm-hmm.
At Art Carey, and that is Art Karee is the artist we use for this. She did an amazing job. She was a wonderful artist. Check her out if you're looking for any commissions. Mm-hmm. And this might be something that we might do as a Patreon giveaway, because we do have a Patreon with Patreon.com/D&D Grandma, and we might use this as like a tier rewards to send out
It
was like a reward
for
that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man, Vince himself, is willing to win you the shirt off his back. You can't get more dedicated than that. So I would like to ask you a couple personal questions. And again, it's just the idea that, like you said, you've got the family together and you have all these different ages, you know, that type of thing. Usually gaming groups are extended family, friends, and then you get to the online gaming and you meet all kinds of people, all walks of life. So do you mind if we ask what you do normally for a living?
I am a security manager, actually, for a warehousing company.
Okay.
You in life, yeah. That's my day job.
No, that maybe one day you could put down to, like, you know, do something like this.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that's the dream, you know?
That'd be the dream, yeah.
Well, a lot of us believe that it's like, you know, people think you're, like, trying to claim the fame, and it's like, no, we just want somebody to pay the bills.
I'm
gonna hang out in my house with my dice and my friends playing my game, and you know, and we'll share it with you, and you know, please support our Patreon or whatever, and you know, as long as you can break even, I mean, that's thrilling in itself.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not looking to be a millionaire here, man. I would just love to, you know, make ends meet doing this. That'd be great.
Yeah, really. Anyway, again, with the shameless and the plugs, so what's your latest project? You've got this solid podcast. You're going to conventions, doing maybe a live show type of thing, and you've got your favorite Comic-Con now, or your favorite con, I should say, sorry.
Yeah.
Is there anything on the horizon, like for a latest project, or, you know, what's in for the future? Can we rent Grandma out and have her do cameos in other podcasts? I'm specifically very interested in having you and yours, you know. I'd love to have you and your wife and your grandma, like in our Star Wars podcast or in our Dice Before Dishonor, and play very distinctive NPCs and you know, and roll out. And then we say, hey, you know, from the so-and-so podcast. We actually already do that.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. As far as another project goes, a long-term project right now, the podcast is a lot to handle. I do have an event coming up. I think it's going to be at the end of September. I don't know the date yet, but I'll be watch my Twitter for that. I'm going to be working with Real Women of Gaming, who is a group out in Pennsylvania who I'm very good friends with. I've worked with them on several projects in the past, where we are going to be live streaming a 12-hour D&D game for Extra Life, where the people watching it can make donations to the Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania and or the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. I forget. I know it's CHOP. I know it's CHOP. I forget if the P is Philadelphia or Pennsylvania. But and your donations while we're playing can affect the game. Like, you could send $5 to give someone advantage. You could send character a healing potion. You can donate this much money to send a beholder to come kill us. You know, things like that.
Oh, that's cool. You got like a chart. $5 plus one. All the way at the bottom it says 5,000. Jimmy gets a kidney. It could be in there.
Wow.
Too much? Too much? Sorry. My string puller left the room. Very direct. Very direct. Sorry, go on.
It's all good. But yeah, so we did that last year. I actually DM'd the game and I played the year before. So this year I will be a player again as one of the Real Women of Gaming people will be DMing it. And it's always been a great time. It's always been a great event. It's always been a success. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be awesome.
That's cool. I'm at the bottom of my question list far too soon, and I'm having such a great time talking with Vince. whereabouts are you? Like, I want to give a home address, but like, where do you live? Where do you game? What state? You know,
I'm in New Jersey.
You're in New Jersey. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. My mother is while we all live in Jersey, my mother is originally from New York. Those of you who couldn't tell that based on the New York accent you hear on the podcast.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Sorry. Yeah, sometimes back away. Oh, wow, Ma. But it comes out in me every now and then, too. Certain words, I'll hear it in myself. But no, we are based in New Jersey. And
you should sneak in an NPC that has the accent just so Grandma in character can go, are you from Jersey? I'm from Jersey. You know, like, sorry.
No, it's fine.
I can see the hate mail coming out of the States right now. What are you doing? You rotten little Canadian. no, our cast is half Canadian and half USA. We've got a guy in Portland. We've got a guy in Ohio. We've got people in Florida. I've got people in Sykesville. I've got a bunch of Canadians in around my hometown and that kind of thing. And there's a lot of back and forth, but I never find even like Canada and America aren't so different as if you look at the scope of the world or whatever. But even interviewing UK gamers and that kind of thing, I really don't find a lot of difference in the gamer mentality. And it's a great way I find connecting with, you know, a common ground with other people,
absolutely,
no matter of race, height, weight, creed, orientation, whatever.
Absolutely.
You meet interesting people and you already have something you love to talk about. And when you go to a convention, which I would love to go to, or something, or a gaming shop, you step into a room and you're looking around and I'm like, one of us, you know, everybody 100%. In this room loves what I love to do, you know, and that this is the illusion. Then I quickly realize you have guys playing Magic the Gathering that wouldn't give you the time of day. And you get guys over here that spent their house mortgage on Warhammer minis. And then you get guys over here perusing the used thing because their brain just can't comprehend new additions. And it's like, oh, can't we just all get along? Guys,
you know. No. At the con we just got back from, none of that. I mean, it was all positive energy. And there was a lot of different types of gamers. It wasn't all D&D. There was a lot of people playing a lot of different things, but it was nothing but positive energy. It was just a really, really good time. And for the first time in my life, I played in a pickup D&D game. There's another group that was there who we connected with on Twitter called Ages of Ainur. You could find them at Ages of Ainur, which Ainur is A-I-N-O-R. And it's another gentleman who plays D&D with his mom. And they came to the con and he was walking around. He had a module in his hand. And he's like, I got a 3-hour game. Does anyone want to play? And we're like, sure. So the three of us and two people we never met before just sat down at a table and played a one shot. You know, a pickup D&D game. I'd never done that before.
Oh, so, that's cool. Yeah.
That was a blast. And it was just a ton of that. I don't have time for negative energy in this hobby and in this other world. So I don't really, if people start arguing over which edition is the correct edition, go away. Play what you want. Why do we have to be at each other's throats here? It's just to be positive energy.
I like hearing about the editions that people started with and how they evolved. A lot of us actually started with what they called the Red Box. And it's like, oh, you're showing your age. And it's like, no, we were excited back then to play that. And we're excited now to play this.
Correct.
You know, like, currently, we're looking hard, strong, and fast at 2nd edition Pathfinder. And there's a lot of controversy. It was like, for Pathfinder, it's like the 4th edition into 5th from 3rd for D&D. You know, it's just everyone's so up in arms. I can't believe so many websites where the disclaimer at the top of a chat room is, guys, you know, blah, blah, blah. Let's not keep going on about, I like this, I hate this about, you know, about this new edition or the old edition or back and forth and what sucks or whatever. This, you know, this website, this Facebook page is about ideas and for the GMs and for the players and stuff. It's like just the straight on hate debate of this and that. And we're getting into it, but it doesn't mean we're going to give up first edition. You know, why can't we play both? Why can't you just play whatever? I mean, we've got, we recently interviewed Nicole Tuttle and we're discussing doing a 5th edition one shot. Because for us, some of the guys that were raised in 2nd edition Forgotten Realms and played into 3rd edition Forgotten Realms, you go 100 years later, you get into 4th edition, right? We could literally play those elves that have been around for 100 years because the editions span that timeline chronologically in the game. You know, it's like, yeah, I put 5th edition in front of me. Oh, is that her? The Victoria?
Yeah, she snuck into the room, but she...
Wow.
Say hello. You don't want to say hi?
Say hello, please.
He's been asking for you. Come on, babe.
I even an arm wave on camera. We got to prove you exist. I brought my wife, Grumpy, from downstairs because we couldn't get... There she is. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. I did the same thing to my wife 10 minutes ago to give him the courage. Man. Courage. I brought her in here. She leaned in, said hello to Vince or whatever. Hi. We heard so many great things and motivational things about you. The idea to bring in grandma. Can we just get you in the chair? Get rid of him.
Yeah.
We're done with him.
We're done with him. No.
Oh, are we doing this? Are we doing this? Hi. Oh, together. Yes. Yes, it is a fit. Squeeze in. There we go. Lovely. Okay. A little bit there. Okay. can we hit you with a couple of quick questions? I mean, I've been, we've had this podcast photobomb. My own crew have popped into a call by mistake early. And they're like, oh, dude, we're on this other show, right? You know, but we don't give a shit. We're like, oh, so-and-so's here. Isn't this great? I'm going to kill you. You've made all my squares move on the frame.
You know, oh, no.
But hi, so we're now speaking with Victoria?
Yes.
Victoria, okay.
Yes.
From the D&D Grandma, and I understand, you know, he DMs in the show on the podcast, but you're his DM. When the lights go down, you know, and the camera's off and the tour you alone, you know, type of thing. I just find this so charming because, like I said, I game with my wife solo. And she recently is auditioning to join our cast. And she's definitely the money and the censor and all these things that a lot of people, I just call her our executive producer, but she is so many things for our project and podcast that people just don't know. And she's very camera shy and she's very, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, it's so great. Thank you so much for being on the show today. And we're going to go back to the top of the list of questions and we'll see how many we can get out of you. So how about you? How did you first know that you were a geek, a nerd, one of us?
So my father was a very big Star Trek fan. Very, very big. And he also, when he was little, he watched Doctor Who. And growing up in my house, it was just number 4 is your favorite. And, you know.
Which who? Because, like, same thing. When I was a little kid, we had the 70s Doctor Who with the big scarf, the big nose, and the big wavy hair. That was our Doctor.
Is that four?
Okay.
That's four. He's clearly the best. And honestly, it's funny because, like, I'll talk to other people and I'll say, you know, oh, well, you know, Doctor Who reboot. And they're like, what is that? And I'm like, what's wrong with you? So, like, I just grew up in that house where on Sundays we watched Doctor Who and we always had some sort of Star Trek on. And, you know, Superman, my father was a huge comic book geek. And, you know, he had tons of old school, Silver Age we did?
I think he has his Silver Age.
Yeah. So he actually recently gave them to the two of us because we're comic book people. So he actually gave us his whole collection. We have it upstairs.
You inherited the legacy.
Yes. So I don't know. It's always just been part of who I was. So I never really was shy. I never shied away from it. I was just like, ooh, interesting geeky stuff. That was about it.
No, I totally get it. I was just explaining Attack of Opportunity. A concept is if you leave yourself open, I will definitely drop an anecdote. My old man was huge sci-fi and like some fantasy. Yeah. And he was reading Clan of the Cave Bear. And when Blade Runner came out, you know, he took us to see it. I remember being 5 years old and going to see the original Star Wars in 1977 because I was born in 72. Wow. And all I remember is the ship, right? And then... Then when Spaceballs came out, my dad and my brother and I watching Spaceballs, and they do this, and we're just like, endless ship, you know, kind of thing.
Similar story to that. When the movie came out, I was 5 years old, and I went out to the theater as a 5 year old with my family to go see Spaceballs. And I'm sitting there, and the ship came out, and everyone's laughing, and I'm like, Mom, what's funny? I don't get it. And she's like, You'll understand later. Like, I didn't understand because I was just too young. But
I think you just attack of opportunity.
You did. That's why I made it.
I did.
Did she just do me? Oh, I like this guy. This guy's quick. That is awesome. I wish more guests would do that. Shut me up. I'm just so afraid of dead air. My old man, like I said, I was explaining to Vince to try and get you caught up. Half our crew are Canadian, half are American. We do everything online because we can't get everybody. But I've recently tried to build a studio for a couple of Canadians, and the buggers don't show up. I think my wife came up here and started auditioning out of pity because I built this bedroom into a studio. Son's off to college, take the bedroom, you know, that's the plan. So 70s scarf Doctor Who, and there's Hockey Night in Canada, and Dad would watch that, you know. But you know, there's Science International, and if they conflicted, it would be Science International or the Doctor Who, or, you know, Star Trek. My cousins and Dad were huge Trekkies, and, you know, we were watching all the reruns of Kirk and everything. And then when Next Generation came out, and then I met my wife, and we both like Deep Space Nine because Sisko is the bomb. I'm telling you, like, Picard is awesome. Kirk, you know, number one, sure. But Sisko didn't take crap from anybody. I love DS9, man.
Yeah.
And then you get Janeway, and it's like just this endless, you know, fun. I love Trek, and I love Star Wars. And again, the people are like, are you a Trekkie? Do you like Star Wars? It's like, I like both. And they're like, no, really? No, I do. I really like both. Like, what, you know, is there a downside to more sci-fi? You know?
Yeah, and I don't understand, again, like, how you have to choose between one or the other. And it's like, you know, like, that's the beauty of being a geek is you grab all of it. You grab all of it, and you're unabashed about, like, the cool stuff that you like.
Well, they were the geekdom of then was very protective of what was theirs because it was so precious, as it were. Now, the only problem is, like, what do you mean they canceled Dark Matter? That show was awesome. What do you mean they canceled Firefly? That's Star Wars for grown-ups. I mean, they defend a brothel in the second episode. Like, what is wrong with you people? You know? Wow. Yeah. So the best shows are getting canceled left and right, you know. But anyway, for you, was there a defining moment? Actually, it's in the house, you're growing up with it, but was there a defining moment? Like, you move out and you're just like, this is, you know.
I would say, I guess Harry Potter, getting into Harry Potter as an adult. That was the first thing that I chose, that it wasn't just like on in the background, or it wasn't like dad was putting on this movie. For me, it was Harry Potter. I sought it out. I went and I found it. I loved it. And then I brought it back to my family. I stacked up all the books and I said, Dad must read this. Laura, my sister, must read this. Everybody, sit down, read it. You're going to love it. And I became an enormous Potterhead. Absolutely.
That's cool. My wife and daughter and myself have read the books, and even my son-in-law, who is a cast member, Jay Tamlin, were so mad that the whole house elf revolution, the whole thing with Hermione going off the side, was kind of canned in the movies. Yeah. We thought that was so cool. Free the little house elf, you know, kind of thing. Because they made a big deal about them being free and wearing their little rags and everything. But so Harry Potter, the gateway drug to fantasy, I gotta say, that's the first. Like, we just say, oh, and Harry Potter in the 90s made geekdom cool, and then everyone came out of their geeky closets, you know. For the longest time, I said I was a closet geek, and they're like, what do you mean? It's like, well, you see me working in a unionized grocery store. I'm a greengrocer by trade at the moment. And it's like, they come and they talk to me, and little old ladies and all this type of thing, you know, and come the hick. We're kind of in the north of the north here in Canada, real hit crowd or whatever. And then there's a college nearby, and they call it the Sir Sanford Sandpit because they learn a lot of natural eco and right. But you still college kids, they come in with all the t-shirts and all the pop culture, right?
Yeah.
And if I can get one of these guys alone in the aisle, I've slipped them a card going, you know, check out these podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
You go get my card. It's like, hey,
on the brother, black market.
Hey brother, have you heard the good news? You know, this type of thing. Just slip them a card. But unless someone said, so, you know, what do you do when you're off work? And I'm like, oh, I'm a huge geek. I absolutely love movies. And you get people talking to me about movies and stuff growing up out of the 80s. And I just, no, 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 type of thing. Then I run into people going, you should podcast, or you should, what? It was just, you know, because I just light up, right? You get into it, and it's like, well, if you, random citizen, think I should, I shall. I will go forth. And, you know, you know, or actually, what I've gotten most is, you should be a salesman. You should be a salesman. It's like, yeah, but I like food, so I can sell food. I'm passionate about food, and I get talking about local growers. You know, I like movies. Yeah. I can't just go door to door and going, would you like some detergent? Would you like, you know, gotta be passionate about it. And you two are obviously having a great time and very, very passionate about the game involving your family, and now you're sharing it with the world. And that's a very unique marketing, charming angle. How long have you been playing specifically RPGs? The old D20 comes out. How long has that been going on? Or did we cover that?
I want to say, he played for about a year or so before me.
I've been in it for about 5 years. How long has 5th edition been out? Because I think I got into it right after 5th edition came out.
We played all the D&D editions. We got to 4th, and then we kind of went, and then we discovered Pathfinder. 3.75, as it were. It went back to 3.5 because 4th just wasn't for us. Some people like it. Now, I will defend a lot of people. The usually is the hate on for 4th. I will defend something in 4th edition that I personally really, really liked, was they had spell casting and they gave wizards a chance to, like, boom, 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 like a fighter swing a sword in combat. And they had spells. Mm-hmm. You're one a day. You know, if it was green, it was all the time. If it was a red card, it was like an encounter. Black was once a day, like your fireball. But then they had this ritualistic magic that you'd kind of see in a movie, where somebody could pick up a book, read it, and like, and the campfire is clean, and even the bard or the bob, or give it to the dog or the pack bear, you know. Should I carry your torch, sir? No, here, just read this and clean the campsite, buddy. You're good. You know, and these spell rituals would take 10 minutes or whatever. I thought, well, that's really cool. That's kind of like more of a open fantasy, generico kind of way of approaching spell casting, as opposed to the rules of D&D. And I really enjoyed that, and that just kind of gone. Right.
They did do that in 5th edition.
That is in 5th edition.
In fifth edition, ritual casting's a thing. Yeah, there are certain spells. It's pretty popular for wizards and druids.
It is limited, though.
It is limited. It's not any spell. It's like, we just played a session yesterday, and
spoilers.
No, I can say it.
Okay.
our caster wanted to cast a specific spell, and she didn't want to waste the spell slot. So she said, if I get there early, can I sit down and take 10 minutes to do a ritual casting, and then I don't have to expend my spell slot, I can save it for later. And he was like, if you get there 10 minutes ahead of time, sure. And she made it work.
Was this like a battlefield? Like, they just went off?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, I'm off to the battlefield, everyone.
I was like, okay, you want us to come with you? Well, if you want to, you can come back in 10 minutes.
Well, you know, if anyone accuses you of meta, remind them of a great scene in a Flash Arrow crossover where Flash and Arrow are like, Arrow's training Flash. And he's like, come at me. And Flash is like, are you serious? He's like, come at me. You're not going to touch me. So it's like, okay. So he pulls the bow. Flash comes running at him. He sees the arrow and he's just laughing. And all of a sudden, thunk, thunk, right in the back, two crossbows that were planted in the field, you know, a day before, right? And he's like, lesson one, you didn't recon the battlefield and you have all the time in the world. Shame on you. And the guy's like, oh my God, you shot me. pulling out the arrows. And he's like, lesson two, I vetted you. I know you could fast heal. I know I could do this to you. It will hurt, but you will heal. I haven't seriously damaged. Suck it up, newbie.
Yeah. You know. Well, you know.
We watch Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Constantine that died, and Matt Ryan coming over. We love that in the Legends of Tomorrow. The humor, you know, unicorns are evil. Sorry, spoilers, but I'm telling you guys, the season, they kind of do what with the Marvel movies connections.
Okay,
And then they do crossovers, you start watching, and they've even looped in Supergirl, because they'll do crossovers there. And at a point, we were watching all four shows, plus the Expanse, and now it's just kind of like, the more I get involved in this, the less time I have for, you know, that kind of thing. That's your sacrifice. A lot of people just think this is ace. You know, oh, and it's Friday, and what are you doing? I'm watching The Expanse. And what are you two doing? Grandma's coming over. We're playing D&D. There's a microphone. Up it goes. And there's so many people don't realize there is a lot that you're doing for this in the week. Sacrificing time, blood, sweat, and tears, guys.
Yeah.
And that's why any follow, any comment, any Patreon support for these guys or myself are so important. Because it's not only an acknowledgement that someone sees what you're doing and likes it or whatever, it will perpetuate it forward. It will open up possibilities for more content. We were talking about what's wrong with Star Wars and Star Trek. Why can't we just love it all? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I know this is a limited resource for everybody, but a lot of people can go a long way on a good word. Like you said, the positive attitude. I, for one, turned one of our fans into a cast member. She was such a delight and spammed comments all over our SoundCloud, not iTunes, or just this one, and was following a bunch of our shows and was just so hilarious with her tones. And oh my God, and she like, oh my God, so-and-so did this. This is great. And this guy's so shady, you know, this kind of thing. Anyway, so I took it upon myself. I reached out through the message boards and said, you know, thank you so much on behalf of us, this and this and this, and no problem and everything. And then we got this idea about a fan phone call where people could call us and we could, you know, talk to a fan. And she pulls out this NT$400 Rhodes microphone. Hello. Holy, where'd you get that? Oh, leftover from YouTube. Anyway, we talked to her for like half an hour before we shot a show. And at the end of it, and I had spoken with her privately on social media and then got talking and ended up being a real phone call and talking and everything. She's so charming. We're like, would you like to do some cameos? And she did. And then, you know, now she's a regular cast member.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
and then her computer died and she's on hiatus right now trying to work three jobs, get a different computer. But, There's a movie with Mark Wahlberg where he joins a band and he's in the audience and the diva walks off and he gets up there and he just becomes one of them, that kind of thing.
Oh, right? Rock band, yeah.
Yeah,
right. So rock star, kind of like we did this, you know, with a fan. I've got another fan that's writing synopsis for our show. I got another fan that we in the Star Wars, we pretend that Sven and the ski mask guys have gone to his house and kidnapped him. And then I call him as the mastermind going, hi, we can't decide this ruling. We know you're familiar with Saga Edition Star Wars, you know. Could you give us the straight and the skinny and you can have your family back? And he pretends to act all scared and you're like, this keeps happening to me, this type of thing. and we have so much fun interacting one-on-one, you know, like with these fans and everything. Because you guys, the fans are everything to us. And it's like you said, it's not like, well, I'm famous. One of my favorite movies is Megamind. And there's Brad Pitt as the superhero. And there's like one guy, I love you, Megan, you know, I love you. And he's like, I love you too, random citizen, you know. We had surround sound and the old school one with the towers. And I didn't know one of the speakers had cross wires. So for the longest time, we thought the best joke was the one speaker over here would go, I love you, Mega Man. And he'd point the wrong way and go, I love you too, random citizen. We thought that was part of the movie. It was a joke. And it was my botched sound system.
Oh, wow.
We kill herself laughing. He just points the wrong way at, like, whoever, and the guy's over there. And we're like, then we watch it again years later, and it's like, well, our version was better.
Yeah.
A lot of the questions that scroll down this list, Vince has already answered about the show, about you guys coming together, and he credited you quite a bit. So getting down to maybe a personal bit at the end to finish off the show, what do you do for a living, if you don't mind me asking?
I work as kind of a customer service person. It's not really customer service. It's much more of a... What is it called?
I say sales support.
Sales support. I have my company. We have a large sales office. Well, we have all over the country, but my sales office is in New York. So I work in New Jersey, and I kind of support them in our factory. So anything that they need done, I run around and get it done.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'd like to get that call. I'd like to be like, customer service, D&D grandma, if she can cast them a wave and Yahtzee that stuff, I'm sure I can help you.
That'd be good.
So guys, we're like approaching an hour. This is a record for these are 20. I promise people that it's like 20 to 40 minute interview, you know, part of your Sunday, you're in, you're out, you know, type of thing. we shanghaied my wife for 30 seconds, who ran off, and now we've got you. So thank you guys so much for giving us the time today.
That's great.
We will definitely, like I said, this is a pre-recorded episode, but we will live stream it. But for those who are going, why isn't it recorded? You know, why is it recorded? Why don't you live stream this stuff? For technical issues, and because it's pre-recorded, when it hits the net, we are going to dig up those clips. And in the comments, you'll see the artist that did the t-shirt. And, you know, the credit where credit is due, guys. But again, Victoria Vitz, thank you so much for being on the show. We've been speaking with Victoria and her husband, Vin Diesel. From he's got, definitely got the hair. he's got the hair and he's got the, you know, it's all there, man. You know. I kind of expect you to sit down. We were talking off the air, and I kind of expected. I was very tempted to say, like, "Hello, I'm Vin Diesel, and this is what happens when you play too much." But he actually did. There's a Matt Mercer video with Vin Diesel playing D&D with Matt Mercer, and it's called D&D Diesel. You know, I love how they take Mercer out of the Big King's chair, and he's like squatting down on the table behind his screens, and then they've got Diesel at the end of the big chair, and he's kind of like, you know, what are we doing? Like, he's played D&D in the past. He admitted it. But he still has that hesitation of, like, you know, there's no script. Okay, you know. And Mercer's just blah, 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 and the thing, and the witch, and so-and-so. And back to you, and Vince, and Diesel's just relying on the whole, you know.
the steely look.
He just sells it. Anyway, unfortunately, today's episode must come to an end. I've had such a great time. I should probably edit it down. I mean, I'm allowed to attack of opportunity a little bit, but I guess...
Just the end, right? I think we should just keep the end, right?
Oh.
The last, 10 minutes?
With her in it, you know. We don't need to know about the show.
It's fine.
It's fine, guys. Thank you so much for being on the show, and we will see you next time on Attack of Opportunity.
Thank you.